Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. So far, so much text. In Christ Jesus, who has commissioned us to make disciples of all nations by baptizing the name of the triune God and by teaching all that he has taught us, dear fellow redeemed. In our text this morning, the Lord gives us a mission, the Great Commission. He calls us to do one thing in two ways. The one thing, make disciples of all people. The two ways, by baptizing and by teaching. For Jesus issues such a great commission, he has to have a correspondingly great authority or power. And he has. He says he has all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus is looking ahead to his ascension when he, the exalted and risen Savior, will receive from the Father all that power and authority to rule all things. He already showed that power and might and authority in a limited way here on this earth. He had power over diseases. He healed the sick, lame, blind, deaf. He raised the dead. Cast out demons. He controlled the weather and things of nature. He also destroyed death and the devil by dying and rising from the dead. And now, as the Father has sent him, he now sends us. He sends us to make disciples of all the nations by baptizing in the name of the triune God and teaching everything that he has taught us. Unless we feel too timid, too inadequate, too incapable, too incompetent to do that, he gives us this comforting promise, "Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of time." With the same power and authority that he has to rule over all things, he empowers us now to teach, to preach, and to proclaim the good news of his suffering, his death, and resurrection. As we heard this morning, this is Trinity Sunday. The truth of the Trinity is beyond the understanding of the wisest of people. Yet the belief of the Trinity is held by the simplest of children. This truth is not just something that pastors and professors and theologians discuss and banter about in seminary and conferences. It's a very applicable doctrine without which believing there can be no salvation. What a great comfort that is to all of us. Our God wants to be known and wants to be made known as he reveals himself in his word. And he reveals himself in his word as being triune. Three in one. Three essences or entities or three persons in one God. In our text this morning is probably the most well-known reference to the Holy Trinity, being baptized in the triune God's name. In this text we see the Holy Trinity revealed both in power and in love. The apostles, plus other believers no doubt, gathered together with Jesus on this mountain in Galilee. It is near the end of the 40 days after Easter, just before his ascension into heaven. And we're told they worshiped him. Jesus is not just their rabbi or their friend. He now is their resurrected Lord and Savior, their ever-living King, the conqueror of all the evils in this world. And now they worship him. He deserves their worship and praise. We see a very disturbing phrase, but some doubted. These words cannot mean that some there doubted that Jesus wasn't dead. He was standing there in front of them. They could see him. But probably they were confused. Confused about what was going on here. Jesus was appearing and disappearing. Didn't know when he was coming, where he was going. Maybe they were wondering what it all meant for them. How did they fit in with the future of his kingdom? What was going on here? Well, all that was answered in a few moments when Jesus said those most famous words. All authority, all power has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That commission was astounding. That commission was something entirely new. Up until that point, people from other nations had to come to the Jews to find out about the one true God and the one Savior of the world, the Messiah. Convert to that faith, they worship in the one place that he said he would be, and that is in the temple in Jerusalem. But now the good news of salvation through Jesus is to go out from Jerusalem to Jews and non-Jews all around the world. Jesus says, go. Go to all the world. And do what? Baptize. Wash away people's sins. And make them children of God in his family. And teach. Teach everyone everything that I have taught you. Both of these methods are found in the means of grace. The gospel and word, and the gospel and the sacraments. When we're baptized with water and the word, a blessed connection is made between us and our triune God. Our baptism made us strangers and foreigners to be fellow heirs and citizens of God's household. So being baptized in the name of the triune God means three things. Being baptized into the name of the triune God means God the Father has adopted us. We, formerly children of Satan, under God's wrath, are now his beloved sons and daughters. He made a covenant with us in our baptism that we would be members of his family. He would watch over us, keep us, protect us, provide for us until he takes us into his heavenly home. Matthew 25:34. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Galatians 4:7. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Being baptized in the name of the triune God also means that we are brought into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus is created in our hearts, or if you are baptized as an already believing adult, that faith was sealed in your hearts, and that forgiveness of sins and all those eternal blessings that Jesus earned for us from the cross and empty tomb has been made ours. We now possess it through faith in Jesus. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, are now clothed with Christ. Ephesians 5. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. And finally, being baptized in the name of the triune God means a permanent bond between the Holy Spirit and us has been established. The Holy Spirit that creates faith in our hearts, strengthens our faith, keeps us in that faith, and leads us into all truth through the word. 1 Corinthians 12. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We were baptized into the name of our triune God. It means we're made members of his blessed family. There's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and us, the family of God. What power and what love. Well, I ask then, why is it necessary then to include teaching in this disciple-making process? Well, first of all, not all people are baptized when they're infants and brought to faith in Jesus Christ. There are adults that never heard about Jesus, and they need to be taught. Taught to, first of all, be shown their sins, that they can in no way earn their own salvation because we are spiritually dead in our sins, lost and condemned, headed for hell. And then be told that only through Jesus and his suffering, death, and resurrection do we have everlasting life and salvation. And also those who are baptized as infants need to have that newly created faith kept alive, alive and active. And they can only be done through continual teaching and hearing of the word. The Bible is very, very certain when it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. It is the gospel and word and the gospel and sacraments that the Holy Spirit uses to create faith and strengthen us in that faith. But that doesn't mean that we're not to use the law, to proclaim the law. The law is necessary, first of all, to show people that they're sinners and their need of salvation, their need for forgiveness. One man wrote, to preach the gospel of Christ as the only savior from sin without preaching the law, which accuses and condemns a sinner, is like hanging one's preaching and teaching of the gospel in the air. It's up there somewhere. So the unconverted sinner says, what sin? Again, Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. David says in Psalm 51:13, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. As most of you know, we need to preach the law because the law shows us our sins. And we need to preach the gospel because the gospel shows us our Savior. And the Holy Spirit takes both the law and the gospel to convict us of our sins, to lead us to repent of our sins, and then to see in Jesus full and free forgiveness, washing away of our sins through his shed blood, forgiven in Christ. The word observe in our text is very important. Observe all things that I've commanded you. It means to attend to carefully, to take care of, to guard. Three important aspects are found in that word observe. First of all, we're to defend and to preserve all that Jesus has taught us from false teachings and from being perverted. And thirdly, we're to fulfill or keep all that Jesus has told us as precious in our hearts. It's the most precious gift God has given to us. And then live according to it. Live with thankfulness and faithfulness and praise for all that Jesus has done for us. Jesus closes this section with those comforting words, and lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Through thick and thin, joy and sorrow, life and death, Jesus be with us, invisibly present, through his word. We will never walk alone as we proclaim the word of God, to convict and to convert, to make disciples of all nations through baptizing and teaching. Because Jesus has revealed the triune God very prominently in the Great Commission, baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. But we too have seen the triune God very clearly this past church year in our worship services, beginning with Advent this past December, and then Christmas, and then Epiphany, and then Lent, and Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, and Ascension, and Pentecost, and now Trinity Sunday. And we'll continue to see and experience our triune God's love and his power every day until Jesus comes and takes us to be with him, so we'll be with the triune God of our salvation forever and ever. And our Savior Jesus says, you can depend on that. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.